Blog Talk Radio.
Satisfied by his righteousness. And this is number 4 in the Beatitude series. And we're going to focus on Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. And you know, this is a very important message because in it we're going to learn the secret to satisfaction. In fact, it's really no secret at all. It's hidden right there in plain sight in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, where Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." In other words, he's saying, if you're hungry and you're thirsty for my righteousness, then you will be completely satisfied. And that's a promise from Jesus. So how many people do you know that are really, truly satisfied? You know, most people don't know any. And maybe if you do, you know a few that are truly satisfied. And that's because people are always seeking and never finding. It's like that little dog I mentioned a few weeks ago who was always chasing his tail, trying to find happiness. Or like a little boy. Picture this, a little boy in his parents' backyard chasing a yellow butterfly. He wants to get his hands on that yellow butterfly so badly, you know. He's thinking, wow, if I can only get that thing, it'd be wonderful. And so he spends all day long chasing after that little yellow butterfly, and finally he catches it. And when he opens his hand, all that's there is this smeared yellow stain. You know what I mean? Now, in a sense, that's the way life is. We chase after butterflies. You know, the butterflies of happiness and satisfaction. And when we finally get where we think we ought to be, it's not what we think it ought to be. You know what I'm saying? And when we get what we want, we don't want what we got. And so we're always chasing after something else and wanting something more. And that's because we're chasing our tails, folks. So let's dive into this fourth beatitude, which is really just another right attitude for right living, and learn how Jesus teaches us to be truly satisfied. Now, I'll go as far to say that if you listen to this and apply this, it's satisfaction guaranteed. And that's because this is an ironclad promise from none other than God himself. Remember, we're dealing with the beatitudes, which are attitudes that we ought to have, ways we ought to be. Now, in the Old Testament, there's the Ten Commandments, and they deal with outward actions. But the Beatitudes, they're dealing with our inward attitudes. You know what I'm saying? Now, you know, many times in our quest for satisfaction, we place incredible premiums on stuff. Oh, if I only had that tractor, I could mow that front field so much nicer. And I have to confess, folks, I've been thinking that a lot lately, too. Now, that doesn't mean I don't need a tractor to take care of this property. It's just a question of whether my attitude is right or not. So we think that having health and wealth and prestige and power and good looks and friends and influence and all that sort of stuff will make us happy, and it won't. Now, a lot of people have many, in fact, more of these things, and they're still perfectly miserable. You know what I'm saying? So these things in and of themselves, they do not result in happiness. That's what I'm trying to tell you. They are not the secret to happiness. Now, our focus scripture for today is where Jesus talks about the way to complete satisfaction. And that's because the Bible's not emphasizing stuff or things that we have, but rather the man and woman that we are or we ought to be. Remember, Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." So if it's your heart's desire to be filled, and you're hungering, and you're dissatisfied, and you're looking for fulfillment, then stay tuned. And don't let the devil distract you, folks. I'm telling you, because today we're going to dive into the secret to satisfaction. And like I said, it's hidden right here in plain sight, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. So the very first thing we ought to look at in our focus verse is the food of a spiritual man. And it's right there in that scripture. The scripture says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst." Hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. So those of you listening out there right now, those of you who are hungry and thirsty in a spiritual sense, Jesus is saying to you right now, you ought to be seeking after righteousness. So what is this righteousness that Jesus says we ought to be hungering and thirsting after? What is it? Well, put another way, who is it? That's right. It's not a what. Righteousness is a who. Because righteousness isn't primarily a thing, but rather a person, and his name is Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says that Jesus is made unto us righteousness. So the Lord Jesus Christ is righteousness. And in this verse, Jesus is saying, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after me, for they shall be completely filled." Isn't that awesome? And I honestly believe this is the true meaning of that verse, folks. Jesus is heaven's bread for hunger. He is. And like I said 2 weeks ago, this word blessed, it's kind of hard to define. It's really difficult to translate. You know, it's translated in so many different ways. But we don't seem to have one English word that fully captures the meaning of this Greek word makarios, you know, from that island, which we end up calling blessed. Now, some translate it as happy, and I explained that's probably not really right because happiness depends upon your circumstances. Hap, you know, that's the old English word for happiness, which means circumstances. And other translate this word makarios as joyful, and you know, that's better. but it doesn't encompass it all. Some even say it's to be one to be envied or one to be congratulated. So bluntly, many wrongly translate this word as happy and say, happy are they which do hunger and thirst after happiness, for they shall be filled. And that just doesn't fit it, you know, because Jesus didn't say that. So the point here is that anybody who sets out to be happy isn't really going to truly be satisfied in life. So as you search for satisfaction in and of itself, you're never going to be filled. And that's because this blessedness, this satisfaction, which is expressed as satisfaction in this verse, this happiness, as people loosely translate it, is a byproduct of righteousness. So we're not blessed when we seek blessings. And likewise, we're not satisfied when we seek satisfaction. We're not. And we're certainly not happy when we seek happiness or act like that little dog trying to chase its tail. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And remember, this righteousness is none other than Jesus Christ himself. So we're never going to be satisfied by searching for satisfaction. That's what I'm trying to say here. And we'll never be happy by looking for happiness, because dissatisfaction and unhappiness is not the sickness. It's not. It's really not the root. It's only a symptom of the root. And what is the root? The root problem here, the root cause, as we say in the business world, is our unrighteousness. So our joylessness is the symptom of our sickness, and our sickness is unrighteousness, or in other words, sin. And I'm telling you, folks, that's the reason after Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God said something very strange, very unusual if you stop and look at the words. God said to Adam and Eve, and listen to this, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Notice God didn't say for your punishment, but he was saying, Adam and Eve, because I love you so much, thorns and thistles would be brought forth unto thee. So as we earn our livings, folks, in this hustle and bustle world, as we earn our living by the sweat of our brows, we're going to have floods and famines and tornadoes and hurricanes and droughts and all that, you know, pests and weeds in the garden. In short, we're going to have pain, and we'll moan and groan, and we'll have woes and misery. And why? Why is all this happening to us? Well, I'll tell you why. Because God loves us. Yes, that's why. He really loves us. Now, you may be thinking, you're crazy, Broken. That doesn't make sense. But yes, it does. Because when Adam sinned, this terrible sickness entered into mankind, all of mankind. And our unhappiness or our lack of blessings is the symptom of that sickness, which I said is sin. Now, the worst thing that could have happened to mankind after the fall would have been for Adam and Eve to continue to live in the garden in that sinful state and never know any pain or any problems. And why? Because if you don't feel the pain, if there's no symptom to your sickness, then you'll never know that you're sick and take the action you need to get better. You see what I'm saying? So if you get the idea that living with pain would be wonderful, it isn't, folks. Think about it. You could be sitting on a tack right now, or worse yet, burning your hand on a hot pot in the kitchen and never feel it. So pain is God's messenger, so to speak. It's his emergency alarm system, you know. It's warning us that there's something wrong. It's kind of like this sound effect I play. It's saying, hey, there's something wrong. And we have that in our spiritual realm, too. So it's a gift. It's a gift from God. When we're sick or when we hurt ourselves, we know there's something wrong in the physical realm, and we take action to correct it. Likewise, this dissatisfaction, this joylessness, this unhappiness in the spiritual realm is spiritual pain and a spiritual alert system, an alarm warning us that we're sick. So are you hearing this? Are you hearing this in your spirit, man, in your spirit, woman? If so, I'm telling you, you shouldn't be chasing after satisfaction or happiness. Rather, you should be dealing with unrighteousness. Think about it like this. Suppose you got sick and you had a terrible headache, okay, and a fever all over your body, and your joints were hurting. You were miserable. So you go to the doctor and you say, "Doc, I feel miserable." And he says, "No worry, I can fix you right up." And he goes into his cabinet and he takes out a powerful narcotic. And he gives it to you and it just masks the symptoms. You say, "Thanks, Doc, I'm feeling pretty good already." But actually, all that drug did was deaden your nerves and give you a little euphoria. So you go out of his office floating on cloud nine, so to speak, you know. You're feeling no pain. Yet that disease continues to work in your body, killing you. So would you say that's a great doctor? No, of course not. Who would? And that's because he didn't deal with the root cause. He didn't treat the symptom. He didn't treat the source. He only treated the symptom. You know what I'm saying? So once that high-powered drug wears off, the pain comes back, but only this time it's worse. And it's going to take more dope the next time to deaden the pain. And before long, it won't be the pain that's dead, it'll be you. You see what I'm saying? Now remember, our person, our being is triune in nature. We're body, soul, and spirit. So we all have physical, psychological, and spiritual needs. And this is implying that there's a proper order to being. First, the spiritual man needs to be made right with God. Then our soul's going to have light from the spirit. You know, the spirit of man is a lamp of the Lord, which gives light to the soul. Proverbs 20:27, paraphrased there. And what do you need in a lamp to give light? You need a trimmed wick, which means you need to be taking care of your spirit man, your spirit woman. And you also need oil. And oil's the Holy Spirit. So then you'll have light. So our souls will have light and be able to rightly discern. And then they'll tell our bodies what they ought to be doing to be blessed and not to be cursed. You know, the Old Testament says, choose blessings, not curses. Choose life, not death. And you can't do that if you're in the dark. Does that make sense? Now, after Jesus fasted 40 days, and remember, he was in direct contact with Almighty God and battling the enemy. So he was fellowshipping with the Father and fighting with the devil. The Bible says he was still hungry as a material man. So all that spiritual food he did, all that spiritual warfare he did, could not satisfy his physical body. And conversely, I'm telling you folks, all the physical food in this entire world isn't going to meet one day of our spiritual needs as a spirit man or a spirit woman. The point here is that spiritual food cannot meet the needs of the body, and likewise, physical food can never meet the needs of the spirit man. Remember that. The Bible says that which is born flesh is flesh, and that which is born spirit is spirit. So it's always going to be like that as long as we're on this side of the shores of eternity. So there's a part that hunger plays in the spirit man. And the food of spiritual man is none other than Jesus himself, righteousness, so to speak. So remember that. So as spiritual beings, we have this deep, deep-rooted spiritual hunger. And until we feed on the food God's given us to meet that spiritual need, and that's none other than Jesus, we're going to always, always, always in the deepest parts of our being be dissatisfied. And if we don't understand this, we'll be chasing our tails like that dog. So that deep unhappiness is due to a sickness that's in us. And that sickness is sin, also known as unrighteousness. And so if the food for a spiritual man is the bread of life, also known as the Lord Jesus Christ, let's look at what the focus of a starving man in the spirit realm ought to be. Now, when Jesus was talking about hungering and thirsting, he wasn't talking about this mere appetite. He was talking about much-needed food. Food to sustain life. He was talking about someone who was famished. So the point here is food isn't a nicety. It isn't. It's a necessity. It's not a luxury. It's something we must have or else we die. So God made it so clear. In the spirit realm, we cannot exist without food for very long. You know, take about 40 days. You know, Jesus fasted about 40 days. That's about the limit that the body can go without food or else you die. And then it's only about 3, maybe 4 days without water, or else you die. And it's only about 8 minutes, or sometimes less, without air, and you die. So in the spirit realm, it's even more profound than that. You cannot exist for even one millisecond without Jesus Christ. And that's because Jesus Christ is life. And without Christ, we have no life, believer and non-believer alike. So I'm not talking about luxuries here. I'm talking about the necessities. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. So without righteousness, there's only the judgment of God. Remember, the wrath of God was upon us all. So now you may be thinking, oh, wow, I've got to get this righteousness. Well, if you're truly saved, you already have it. You're just not appropriating it, because that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. But if you're not saved, you need to get saved. And you can do that right now by just crying out, Jesus, I'm a sinner. You died for my sins. Save me. And folks, somehow supernaturally it starts. You know, St. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now, Paul knew that Jesus was to be his all in all. But there's so much more that he needed to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you the truth, folks. We've only just skimmed the surface. There's so much more that as Christians we need to know and learn about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 3:10, oh, that I may know him. That's what he was trying to say there. Jesus is so deep. Jesus is so rich, you know? So the point here is that the focus of a starving man is food, and the food of the spiritual man is Jesus. So to be filled, we must seek Jesus exclusively, folks. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. He didn't say those who thirst after righteousness and this or that. No, no, Jesus is the sum and substance of it all. The point is that you can't go beyond Jesus, and that's because there's nothing higher than him. And then even if you dive down into the deepest depths of the ocean, you'll never find anything deeper than Jesus. I'm telling you, folks, in other words, Jesus Christ is literally our all in all. Like Paul said in Colossians chapter 13, verse 11, Jesus is our all in all. You know, Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's like saying, I'm the A to Z and all that's in between. That's what Jesus was saying there in the book of Revelation. So all of those books in the greatest libraries of the world can't even begin to contain what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, John wrote the very last verse of his gospel, John chapter 21, verse 25, he said, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. That's how he ended the gospel he wrote. Wow, you know. So not only is Jesus necessary for our lives, he is sufficient. That's the point here. He's enough. And all that we need, and never forget that, is Jesus. He is our all in all. So the focus of a starving man's food and the food of a spiritual man is Jesus. And Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. And what is righteousness? Christ is righteousness. We know that from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. You know, Christ our righteousness. So remember, we're to be focusing exclusively on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're to seek Jesus exclusively, but not only exclusively, we're to seek him earnestly. Think about a man who's really starving. He's dead serious about food, isn't he? He's only interested in one thing. He's a very single-minded man. Remember, James said a double-minded man is what? Look it up, folks, and see if you can find that scripture. If not, email me and I'll send it to you. So this starving man is interested in one thing and one thing alone. He's not interested in popularity or society or position or entertainment. No, no, no. He's interested in only satisfying his physical hunger. So when we understand that Christ is our righteousness and then focus our lives on Jesus and Jesus alone, that hunger is satisfied. So I'm hoping you're hungering on Jesus and you're focusing on Jesus earnestly and exclusively. So the focus of a spiritual starving man needs to be Jesus. So seek him exclusively and earnestly, folks. And don't be hungering after anything else. Don't be looking for something else. because you're never going to find anything beyond the Lord Jesus, and you're never going to find anything sweeter than the Lord Jesus. Not the sweetest pastry from the fanciest bakery in your area. No, there's nothing more wonderful than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when a person is truly hungry or thirsty, they'll pay any price for food. Plus, they don't have any pride. Once when I was back in grad school at the University of Pittsburgh, this goes back a while, I was in one of the cafeterias, and this man off the street, he ran in, and he sat down at a table where some other students had just got up and left all their, you know, rubbish and their trays and some scraps of food and stuff, and that man just started shoving food in his face. He was stuffing all those crumbs and those pizza crusts and that leftover burger. It was, in a way, it was kind of disgusting. He was shoving them in his mouth as fast as he could. All that garbage was left on that table by those other students until the security came over and chased him out of the cafeteria. And I'm telling you, I'll never forget that. He ran out like a little squirrel, just like he ran in. He scurried out, folks. He didn't have any pride. He didn't care what other people thought. And that's because he was famished, and he needed that food. You know, pride's what keeps a lot of you listening right now from giving it all up and giving it all over to Jesus. Pride, folks. And that's because you're just not hungry enough. You're not famished like that man in the cafeteria at Pitt. You're nothing like that homeless guy. And when you're not, then you begin to criticize. You'll say, oh, I don't like Brokan's voice. I don't like his delivery. I don't like his timing. He's just annoying to listen to. I'm telling you, you can always find something to criticize. You can. But on the other hand, if you want God, you can always find God because he's revealing himself to you right now through me. Think about it like this. If a man's invited to a dinner party, and he comes in, he sits down, he's dressed up real nice, and he looks over at his spouse and he says, I'm not going to eat this. There's a chip on that china, and look at that fork, it's on the wrong side of the table. And that plate, the parsley on that plate, it's wilted. I'm going to tell you one thing about that man. He's simply not hungry. He isn't. On the other hand, if a hungry man comes in and he wants to be fed, he's going to eat regardless of the chip on the china, the fork on the wrong side, or the wilted parsley. And that's the reason some folks don't like to go to church where the Bible's really truly being preached. They want to go to one of those fun churches, those party churches, you know, where they get fed little sermonettes, you know, like finger food at a cocktail dinner. And the whole thing's over in about 30 minutes. That's because they're not hungry for the Word of God. They have no appetite for the things of God. So when the service gets a little long and their heads begin to nod, you know, they're out. They check out. And that's because they're not hungry. They have no appetite. So remember, the food of the spiritual man is Jesus. And the focus of a starving man is his food. And, of course, that food in the spirit realm is Jesus. And then finally, let's wrap this message up by looking at the fullness of a satisfied man. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, or, like I said, satisfied. Now, when you think about that, it doesn't mean you're never going to be hungry again. In the physical realm, there are times we're completely satisfied. And what's the best time of the year to think about that? Well, Thanksgiving Day, of course. Remember after that feast you have? You couldn't put another bite in your mouth. But then come around 7 o'clock that evening, what do we find ourselves doing? We're back in the kitchen, opening up the refrigerator, you know, looking for leftovers. And that's because that's the way God made us. We can only eat enough at one time to sustain ourselves for a short time. And it's the same way in the spirit realm with Jesus. So God's not going to let you feast on Jesus one time and that's all. You know, of course, there's a beginning feast. That's when you come to Jesus. You cry out, save me, and he does, and then he just says, come feast with me. So you have a feast with Jesus, and that's your salvation. But then you need to continually feed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's your sanctification. Okay? And that's a process that goes on as long as we stand on this shore of eternity. Then when we get to the other shore, there's glorification. Isn't that awesome? And that's because we must grow in Christ Jesus. So thank God he gave us these appetites in the spiritual realm and the physical realm. Otherwise, we'd be these skinny skeletons walking around with our lamps out. Now, if you don't have an appetite, a couple things could be wrong with you. Either you're sick, or you're dead spiritually, or you're actually in the process of being filled up right now, right here and now. And maybe you don't even need to be hearing this message because you're being fed elsewhere, you know? And I hope all of you sit down at a feast with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit every day with your Bibles there in a quiet room, in a quiet time where there's no distractions. You, His Word, and the Holy Spirit, and a notebook, you know? That's how to feast. Now, I often meet what I call sick saints. Yes, sick. S-I-C-K. Sick saints. And those are folks that may be saved, but they really don't have an appetite for our Lord Jesus Christ. So sure, they're saved, okay, freed from the penalty of their sins, justified, but they're not being sanctified. They're not being cut loose from the power of sin in their lives. So they're puny in the spirit realm. And the Word of God just doesn't excite them very much. But thank God when I meet a man or a woman who's got this spiritual hunger, and they have an appetite like a lumberjack in the spirit realm. I know somebody like that. She lives just a little bit north of me. And it's so exciting when she shares what the Lord reveals to her. It's so exciting when I hear Jackie talk about that. Because I know she's got an appetite like a big lumberjack from out in the forests of the West Coast, you know. And she's hungry, and she's growing in the spirit realm. So praise the Lord Jesus Christ for people like that. They encourage me. They show me that what I'm talking about here is real. So the Lord allows us to have this perpetual hunger, that we may have perpetual feasts, that we may have perpetual satisfaction. And that's the way we go on and on and on in the Christian life, as we continue to feast upon what? The Lord Jesus Christ. So this beatitude doesn't mean that you won't ever hunger again, but it means that we could keep on being satisfied. Isn't that awesome? So Jesus is always there, and we can always feast upon him. And that's the fullness of a satisfied man. So remember, the word blessed doesn't necessarily mean to be happy or joyful. It's a combination of all this stuff. It's happiness, joyfulness. It's to be congratulated and envied by others. And we only get that blessing or that satisfaction when we seek after righteousness. And that's the fullness of the satisfied man. Amen? Now, forget about trying to be happy, okay? Just forget it. It's not going to work. And start seeking Jesus. You know, I've forgotten about trying to be happy. And I've forgotten about trying to be satisfied. And now what I do is I seek Jesus. And I'm encouraging all of you to do the same thing. And then suddenly you're going to say, I'm satisfied. And you know what? I'm happy. I'm not chasing my tail anymore. It's following me wherever I go. And I hope you do that. Because then you're going to be blessed and you're going to be satisfied. Now, the devil's going to tell you that you can't have holiness and happiness. They just don't go together. So he's going to say, make up your mind. Either you're going to be righteous or you're going to have fun. But you can't have both. And he's a liar. I'm telling you right now, folks, he's a liar. And you'll never know satisfaction unless you find it in the righteousness of the person Jesus Christ. So the devil's telling you, if you go after and seek righteousness, you're not going to have the good things of life. But I'm telling you that you'll never be able to experience the good things of life until you first seek righteousness. It's the exact opposite of what the devil's telling you. You know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, he giveth us richly all things to enjoy. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3 says, so be that you've tasted the Lord is gracious. And amen, he is, folks. So I want to let you in on a secret, a big secret. I have a friend, and he's gracious. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 6, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm telling you, folks, he is. I have tasted, and I'm telling you, he is good. Psalm 107, verse 9 says, for he satisfies the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with what? Goodness. I'm telling you, he's filled me, and the fullness of a satisfied man is being expressed right now, folks. Oh, how sweet and wonderful it is to know Jesus, and I want you to know him. So remember, the food of a spiritual man is none other than Jesus Christ himself. He is our righteousness. The focus of a starving man is food. And he narrows everything down in his focus to one thing, and that one thing is food. And in the spirit realm, that food is Jesus. And the fullness of a satisfied man is blessedness. Jesus said, blessed is the man that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he shall be filled. And I'm telling you, he shall. He shall. I'm telling you, he shall be filled. So do you really know him? Do you know Jesus? Are you saved? Are you satisfied? Has the hard hunger of your life been met? Well, I'm telling you, it'll only be met in Jesus. And if you try to find it any other way, it'll no more satisfy that spirit hunger than the body can be satisfied by chasing after nuts and bolts for your car when your belly's hungry. No more than your physical hunger can be satisfied if you're chasing after a new collection for your thimble collection, you know, a new addition to your thimble collection. The point I'm trying to make is that as spiritual creatures, just as physical creatures, we have spiritual needs, and they're met specifically in certain ways, just as our physical needs are met specifically in certain ways. So if you're hungry for a blessing, cry out to Jesus, and I promise you on the Word of God, He'll satisfy you. So, folks, just go out this week and feast on His righteousness. Feast on His righteousness, and I promise you that you'll be satisfied. I love you. I'll catch you back here next week, provided the Lord's willing, with the fifth beatitude, which involves the blessings of being merciful. So let's listen to Holy by Matt Redman. Lift your hands up to our Savior, Jesus Christ.
What heart could hold the weight of your love and know the heights of your great worth? What eyes could look on your glorious face, shining like the sun? What heart could hold the weight of your love and know the heights of your great worth? What eyes could look on your glorious face, shining like the sun? You are holy. Holy. the living and the dead. All eyes will look on your glorious face, shining like the sun. Who is like you?